The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Welcome. This is Joe Poe
and Mary Helen Deer
hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 98.5 FM KACO, Apache and Adarko, Lawton, Fort Sill are Kiowas for a Better Future. District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, and Lawrence Spotted Bird announced candidate for Kiowa Chairman. So the first part of the show is we'll get turn it over to Alvin Deer, who'll give today's prayer. Alvin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you are so welcome. So go ahead and start.
All right. Let us pause. A hodaki for this beautiful day as we look forward to the blessings of our tribe establishing a good way for our the next generations. And Lord, we just pray right now that you bless each and every one that speaks on this radio program. We pray it would be informative and a blessing. We continue to pray blessings upon our tribe, Lord, that that your spirit will just lead and guide and direct and show us a good way, O Heavenly Father. So thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for giving us a good way to follow that our ancestors established, Lord, and gave us good ways to move into the future and for the survival of our people. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All right, Alvin, thank you for that wonderful prayer. So the next portion of our show is our Kiowa Elder of the Week. And our Kiowa Elder of the Week this week is Cletus Gayton. And we'll let Mary Helen Deer take it over from here. Go ahead, Mary Helen.
Hello, Cletus. How are you doing?
I'm just doing just fine.
Oh, good. Good to hear your voice. I'm glad that you took some time to talk with us today. This portion of the show is to let our elders speak and tell us about their lives, their life experiences, and kind of be an example for the young, you know, how you started in life. So first of all, you know, whenever we meet somebody new, we always say, who's your folks? So Cletus, tell us, who's your folks?
Well, my mother and my father, my mother was Ruby Topai, and my father was Joseph Haintal. But I grew up with my grandmother and my grandfather, I thought when I was little, I thought they was my mother and father. What I know in life, my grandmother and my grandfather taught me. I started at a young age because my grandmother, she was the power person. She helped a lot of veterans. Her club was the Victor Club. And every year, November 11th, they get together and they show respect to the veterans. And that's how I learned from little to my age now. And my grandfather was a Peyote man. And that's why I learned on Peyote, on my Rogers Topai. He's going to tell me. I learned a lot of things when I was a young man. There's some things I kind of forget, but when I said that, it comes back to me. Some of it's common sense in life and the things you've been. If you see a lot of things that I've seen a lot of things in my life. Well, as I grew up, I traveled. I got with this drum group. Well, the drum group I was doing was Bad Medicine. And we traveled all over. We traveled the East Coast, West Coast, Mexico, to Canada. And at that time, our lead singer was they called him Joe Fish, but his real name was Phil Dupont. And he taught me a lot of things. It wasn't for him. We really recognize, and we represent as we travel. We represent the Kiowa people, and all our drums. There was 10 as we travel. There's 10 of them. We were all Kiowas. As we travel, a lot of people they show respect to us, and we show respect to them. Because sometimes it's hard. Because we travel. Sometimes we even come home 2 or 3 years, but we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. I got to meet a lot of people. I know a lot of people. They know me. I really don't know. I mean, sometimes, everybody knows, I forget names. But as I grew up in life, it's pretty hard. Sometimes, you have your good days and you have your bad days. And sometimes the people, when they come to ask you to do things, my grandfather left me something I can't say no to. And I do the best I can when people ask me to come and smoke them off. I used to cedar. And like somebody that passes away, I smoke them off. Or somebody that's a compto in the house, I go smoke them off. Or if something happens, I have to put things aside and do that. I ain't no medicine man. I'm Cletus. I ain't try to be anybody or try to do this or that. I don't show off when I do things and people ask me to do things. Sometimes it's hard because I always have to ask God to come into me to help me say things, nice things that to young people, to old people. And not only my Kiowa people, I have other tribes. Not only other tribes, but I would have Kokos, Kongyons, and Mexicans. They come, I can't say no. And sometimes when a miracle happens, I said, don't praise me. Don't praise me. Praise God. God's the one he's the one that healed you. I just talked for God. And I burned this fire in the cedar to help you. To go in life, to enjoy yourself. Like someone else, turn the page. Because what happened in the past, you're going to have to let that go. But yet still, I know it's going to bother you. But you got to enjoy life. You got to go on. And not only that, your family don't want you to go on, too. The people that lost ones, loved ones. It's pretty hard because I was telling them, wait till the holidays comes, then you're going to feel it. But I talked to other kids, I want y'all to talk nice to each other because you never know what's going to happen the next day. So I'm gonna help to that person. You say, "Oh, I feel bad. You want to go apologize, but it's too late. It's already gone, and it's going to bother you." So that's what watch what you say is what you do. Talk nice to each other. If you got nothing, don't say nothing at all. But if me, when I see somebody, I hug them because I love them. Mm. Sometimes I miss them. I had a good life as I grew up, and I'm still having a good life. And I pray from the youngest to the oldest, oh, God is watching over them, especially the honeycomb ones out there and the widows. They'll know they're having a hard time, especially have relatives in the nursing homes, rest homes. First thing I think about it every morning, honeycomb. on with life best way we can. Mm-hmm. I'm talking from my heart because sometimes I have hard times talking. I don't know what to say or what to even. Like people come to me and ask me, it's pretty hard sometimes. I ask God to come into my heart to talk to the young one or to the elder or, you know, different ones. But I'm glad God made me Kiowa.
Those are good words, Cletus. I really appreciate them. And bless you for being that person who is out there to help others when they need it. But how about some other things in your life? Games, like hand games. Do you play hand game?
Oh, I love to play hand game. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a hand game Halloween night. Uh-huh. I just want everybody, everybody's kind of locked up with these three past years. I want everybody to come in and join themselves. Uh-huh. Especially the ones that lost loved ones, to come to forget, come to enjoy, have fun, change your life a little bit. Because they would want you to go out and have fun, your relatives. Uh-huh. And then, I know it's for the kids, but adults are worse than kids, ain't it? That's what I'm doing for Halloween.
Where is it going to be?
I've been playing hand games since in the 70s. When I was younger, we had Shetland ponies. We used to ride them out. Dirty Shame. One time I went to Bill Crimson. Old man Bill Crimson Sr. went to his house, and he seen it. Come on, tie your horses up by the water house, this building. So we're in that building. They were playing hand game at that time. And that's the first time I ever got to play that. It was '73. And since then, I enjoy it.
Where is your hand game going to be on Halloween?
In Carnegie Park.
Oh, okay.
On a Sunday.
Okay.
And it's a $75 entry fee. It's just a fun to get together, you know.
Yeah.
To enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what time did you start?
Well, hopefully about 1.
Okay.
Because I'm going to serve the supper.
Okay. Oh, good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, you talked about the youth, the way you grew up and the teachings from your grandparents. Is there anything else that you would like to tell the youth, how they need to be and you know, some of the teachings that you had?
Yes, I do have something to say. You young people out there, if you want to know something about your relatives or your life, I mean your family, ask your elder now. Because when they're gone, they're taking it with them. And someday you're going to sit there, I wonder what, and this and that. Ask them now while they're still alive. That's what I did. That's why I know the things I know, because I asked. If you don't ask, you never know what really goes on. The main thing I like my grandparents taught me, you show respect to me, I'll show respect to you. I always keep that in my heart. But sometimes it's hard out there, especially these young kids. Don't stay in the house. Go out, enjoy yourself. Go out there and check out the world. There's a lot of things out there besides that TV and telephone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to see that you're missing out on. When you get older, I should have done that. It's too late. Mm-hmm. You're a young man, young woman. Go out there and enjoy life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you get older, you're going to say, God, I should have done this. I should have done that. Oh, he ain't hard. He ain't hard. He ain't hard. You should have done it. Too late now, you know.
Yeah. The powwow scene today, you know, how has that changed from what it used to be? You know, it used to be, as I remember, and I'm older than you, we didn't have all the powwows that they had. The only time we had a dance was when a veteran came home. And how about you? What stories do you have?
Well, we had powwows like now, that they have powwows for birthdays or somebody's house burned down or somebody got hurt. Because it costs money to go to the hospital, get gas. We try to help those people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Honda Kong, the ones that lost their homes, we try to help them with, you know, to get clothing and stuff. You know, now the power is there. That they have some, or like that the mother or father asked a child, well, what do you want? Some would say hand game, powwow, or something, a birthday, you know.
So Cletus had some phone difficulties, and so we'll go into our next portion. We have Elena Quitone here, and she's here to make some comments about various issues concerning what's going on in the tribe today. So Elena, you go ahead and take it away.
Okay, thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Today, I just really like to remind people that just because the recall and the impeachment process failed to remove our chairman doesn't mean that, you know, he's any less guilty of wrongdoing, and that as election time is rolling around, we're going to hear more of his talking the talk and maybe even a little more grandstanding. And that was evidenced by the Indian City event, since he has the gall to run for re-election again. And so though we want good to happen, or we want to believe change is actually happening, we can't dismiss the last 4 years and all that's occurred or not occurred for our people. The Indian City event was a great moment for our people, but it was clouded by our chairman. He took, you know, all the glory when it just wasn't the case. And as most know by now, this process started years ago. But what clouded the event most to me was the fact that our chairman felt the need to address the fact that those talking against him were lying. And he had the gall to say he'd been exonerated for recall and impeachment by the court during that event, and then went on to say pretty much that audits had been done and that everything was fine. It was all just too much to me. And so, you know, just taking the time to address that to me at a public event put a damper on it. And to me, it was also an embarrassment. So calling your own people liars when there's so much evidence and documentation of wrongdoing is flat out wrong. And if everything is on the up and up, then I want to know why he's not followed through with the forensic audit. You know, the grant programs may be accounted for, but what about our incoming casino monies, which are there to fund our day-to-day business? So there's been no accountability or transparency in the way of reports given since he's been in office. And so we know nothing. And we need to be demanding follow-through of that forensic audit. The KCA, the KIC voted on that. So, you know, there's just no excuse. And there was no exoneration of his impeachment or recall when he filed in CFR court, which should have occurred in our own court, by the way. But stating he received no due process, that was his reason for filing in CFR court, when many of our own tribal employees were dismissed by him with no due process. And so anyway, the judge ruled in his favor, even though that whole process was initiated constitutionally. And this judge, by the way, was also used by the D4 legislator in the same manner against our people. And this particular judge is no longer with the CFR court. Several of us met with BIA officials to, you know, state our case, and this happened on August 18th, and it was a two-hour meeting, and there were six officials there from BIA, and we've heard nothing back since that meeting, but we will continue on up the ranks, you know, doing what we have to do for whatever good it's worth to, you know, at least show we've tried. I don't have much faith in the BIA or CFR court in this situation, you know, that we find ourselves in now, but as I said, you know, the corruption does run deep in this area. And in my opinion, I feel that the info given at that meeting, you know, we gave much information about what was going on with our tribe. I felt much of that was used just to cover, you know, BIA's tracks. So the connection with former BIA officials is there because many have been hired by our chairman, and that makes you, you know, pretty suspicious of any goings on. And so it was just a pretty unusual set of circumstances that his impeachment, you know, occurred under. And another one was that, you know, Angela, may she rest in peace, had passed away, leaving the legislature without a full number to be able to vote on that impeachment. And the proceedings were tied up in court. And then the 90-day timeline passed before Angela's seat could be filled by JT. So that's not exoneration. And impeachment should have been attempted again to me, again, by the legislature. But, you know, when the legislature stacked in chairman's favor, well, you know, things are hard to attempt. But hey, Elena, also, I don't feel, yes.
So, you know, it's a matter, and it's subjective on whether it was a mandate by the people or not, but there are 1,050 people that signed his recall petition, and there were quite a few people that voted for him. There's a quite a few less than that that voted for him. So he has far from a mandate from the people. There's far more people
right.
that want him gone than want him there. And unfortunately,
right.
that the Constitution says that we have to have 30% of the registered voters to get their signatures. You know, in California, they only needed 16% of the registered voters to have a recall. So,
right.
know, there's a discrepancy there. So anyway, go ahead. You go ahead and finish your statement.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just don't feel like he should be allowed the opportunity to run for re-election in the beginning, you know, in the first place, because there are still two ongoing investigations, you know. One is with the FBI and the other with OIG. And until those have been concluded, you know, he should not be allowed to even run for re-election. And also for the simple fact that, you know, he used a tribal attorney to represent him in those impeachment proceedings. So, you know, in my opinion and many other people's opinion, he owes the tribe. And when you owe the tribe, you know, you are not able to run. So I just feel that, you know, hopefully that won't happen at all. I still see many people upset on Facebook with so much. And I certainly hope that these are the people that also signed that recall petition, you know, with, like you said, over 1,000 people signing and with many choosing not to just for fear of their jobs, you know, or not receiving that federal aid that's still ongoing, you know. So that speaks volumes. But there is a silent majority out there not wanting to be involved or rock the boat. And there are those beholden to the chairman for whatever reason. But right now, we're stuck until election time or investigations conclude. And so, you know, we need to take action still. And there's been a few that met with the BIA. We've written email follow-ups recently and sent them to the superintendent and then also to the regional director. And also, I went ahead and CC'd his boss, and we're just going to keep going from there. We're not going to stop, but we need other people to be involved by, you know, maybe you don't want to get out and protest, which I was hoping would be the fact, but if people do not want to be seen, they can at least behind the scenes be emailing the BIA. Let them know, you know, because the BIA, when we met, asked us to, you know, to have a short, you know, a small amount of people because of COVID, and so when we showed up, they were surprised it was so few. And yet, you know, that's what we were told to do. And so then he turned around and said, you know, we don't have enough people to know, you know, if this is the truth. We said we have documentation. And, you know, so he kind of changed tune then a little bit. But, you know, like I said, I feel like that information was more or less used to cover up a lot of the goings on that had been happening behind the scenes with the BIA and this is the area, CFR court and all that. So, you know, ARPA payments are still, you know, not happening in a good way. Our kids, just very hard to watch. And so a lot of people have mistrust and anger about that. You know, my own grandson.
Hey, Elena.
He still never got the COVID.
Elena, I wanted you to comment on one thing. You know, that right before the recall petition was due, the chairman was churning out 400, 500, and 600 checks a day. And as soon as
right.
that deadline passed, now they're churning out 30, 40, 50 checks a day. Why do you think that is? And, you know, what, you know, do you think that there's a correlation between was under recall and now he's not? I think that there is. I think that he just doesn't give a damn.
Sure,
that's why
right.
he doesn't give a damn
no
about people getting their money.
Right. And that's very sad. Our people, because it's our people that suffer, you know, through all of these shenanigans that are going on, and only for his benefit and to cover up whatever. But yeah, there's been much wrong these past 4 years, and we would like people to be involved by, you know, emailing Superintendent BIA Superintendent Rose Robeson, email the regional director James Shock as to what's going on. The more people that do that, the more likely they are to listen to our pleas for somebody to take notice and to, you know, get involved. But but we are fighting the bureaucracy that protects the status quo, so it is an uphill battle. So, you know, we just would like to inundate the BIA with calls and emails, spread the word to those who, you know, want to do more. But also, we need to wake up as KIC and know that, you know, demand our future nominees running for chairperson to be thoroughly vetted, questioned in a public forum, you know, Facebook Live or Zoom even, with debates. And it's our responsibility as KIC to get out there and vote. And that's my, you know, final word is that, please encourage others to vote as well. Make sure you study all your candidates and make a wise choice for change. And, you know, it's just something very, very important that we've learned the hard way. And so I am so thankful that, you know, we have Mr. Spotted Bird running as one of our candidates.
We've run out of time, but we'd like you to give those email addresses out that you want people to email before we close out.
I think it's just rose.roberson@bia.gov and james.schock, S-C-H-O-C-K, @bia.gov,
okay.
All lowercase.
All right, Elena, thank you so much for being on the show and listening to your comments and truths and things that we all need to hear and absorb and make sure that we make the right voting choice this time and not elect another tree stump as the chairman. Elena, thank you. Next up, we've got Lawrence Spotted Bird here with us, and Lawrence is going to talk to us for 15 minutes about his vision for the future. Lawrence, go ahead.
Hello. Like I introduced couple weeks ago, I'm putting my hat in the ring to run for the chairman, and I briefly skimmed over what my vision is for developing a three-dimensional tribe. And those three dimensions are, of course, the tribal government. And the second one is for economic development purposes, Kiowa Incorporated. And then for other community development purposes, developing Kiowa Community Development Corporation. Let me focus on what my vision is and some details on our tribal government and what we need to do should I be elected to focus on and strengthening our government so that we can provide the needs for our tribal members. And first and foremost, we got to first clean up our finances and catch up on our audits and address those findings that are in those audits and clean those up. That's first and foremost. And then my second part of that is I want to establish a Kiowa-led management team. I know we got very talented and educated Kiowas out there. We just need to reach out to them and convince them, of course, that we intend to do good and run a tribal government as people want us to run. And so I need to entice some of our Kiowa professionals to come and join our management team and help move us in the right direction. So that will be a big job there, too. But also, we want to conduct a forensic audit, basically look back and make sure that our dollars have been spent appropriately. And if not, then we need to identify those issues and those problems. And if there's any fraud or other abuse involved, people need to be held accountable. And that's what we need to conduct in the early stages of moving to clean up the tribal government. Another thing is we got a lot of educated well-informed tribal elders that know a lot by virtue of being around for a long time. And so we need to draw upon that, encourage their involvement, and create a Kiowa Elders Advisory Council. Respect our elders and their knowledge and their years of living in, well, wherever, mostly Southwest Oklahoma as Kiowas, but also those who've traveled around the world and around the country and learn new things and opportunities and can bring much to help us in turning the tribal government around. So we need to create a formal Kiowa Elders Advisory Council and, of course, pay them for their time. They need money as well as anybody else. We also need to nurture our young people, become leaders, Kiowa leaders for the future. And to do this is to start now by taking and giving them the opportunity to learn what it takes to become a leader, give them the tools to prepare them to become a leader for the future. And hopefully they become leaders in our community, in our tribal government. But anywhere they choose to live, they can be recognized as leaders, because I believe there's a leader among all of our tribal youth and even our tribal people. And we need to create a leadership training program to prepare anybody that wants to learn how to become a leader to become a leader and know what it takes. And so that's going to focus on, again, drawing in our youth, preparing them for the future. And another thing, the key to I guess, elevating our sovereign status is to put things in place to then achieve self-governance status as a tribal government. Right now, this is the highest level of a sovereign government that a tribe can attain, and that means that you determine yourself. The money's from the Department of the Interior, and the money's from the Department of Health and Human Services, how you need to spend it in your community. And so you circumvent, basically, and get money directly from Interior and no longer have to rely on working with the BIA and some of their guidelines and also some of their hindrances by being involved in what and us determining what is best for our people and our tribal government. And so we can do this by achieving self-governance status, but we got to prove that we can manage our finances, and we got to prove that we have clean audits, and we got to prove that we have a solid management team before we can achieve that status. But I think bringing in the professional Kiowas that I mentioned, we can achieve that goal. There are several tribes in a country that already have achieved that goal, and that's proven beneficial to them. And another thing that's really incorporated and started through the BIA is creating a 477 workforce development plan. And what this is again, we determine what that plan entails to prepare our tribal members for the workforce. Oh, actually, two things that we can prepare them for. Prepare them for the career and for a workforce. But also, some of those Kiowas want to be entrepreneurs. And so we got to prepare them to help start their own business, their own small business, and give them the education and the support in order to start their business and find success. And so this is a two-pronged component for the 477 program that we can get in place in collaboration with the BIA, because what this does, once you have an approved 477 plan in place, is that gives you basically access to funding from 12 federal agencies through a very easily managed process of funneling all the monies that you need from any of those agencies or all of those agencies to come through this 477 plan directly to the tribe. And so this makes it easy for financial management, for financial reporting, and so forth. And it helps the tribe prepare its membership for careers, for life, to stand on their own and provide for their families by their own initiative and their own hard work. And so that's what this plan is going to bring to our tribe. Another key thing that I've learned in working almost 40 years in business development, business planning, economic development, is that you do have to have a plan. If you're going to do anything, you need to plan. And so we need to develop for the tribe a 10-year strategic plan. And this plan will be involved, will be comprehensive. And tribal members, key tribal management team, tribal council, and the legislators will all be involved in developing this strategic plan that we'll all have our input into. And we can have the opportunity to devise that plan that will then be pretty much the roadmap that will show us, the management, the tribal leaders, and the executives, where we want to go, because everybody will have had their input in this plan. But once that plan is developed, we'll know where we're going to be going. Our current tribal center is probably not adequate to house all of our staff needs, and so we need to come up with another plan for a new center, upgrading. I know that center. I was around when we dedicated that center, I believe, in 1979. I worked for the tribe. We still work out of the upstairs at the old post office in Anadarko. And we were very excited about moving to our own facility, our own complex. And it was a big, big event, a big time for pride of our tribe that we finally had our own administration center to call our core working place for tribal government. And now that has served its purpose, but we need to expand and be able to prepare and house the staffing and all the programmatic employees that we will need to provide for the needs of our growing tribe. We need to have that a new facility, efficient and state-of-the-art facility, to house our operation. And I still foresee the Center for Tribal Governance there in Carnegie. And I mentioned the Kiowa Incorporated. I see that eventually being headquartered in Hobart, and the Community Development Corporation being headquartered in Anadarko, so we can have a direct impact and collaborate with those communities to help enhance the economies of those three communities that are really in bad shape right now, as we all know. And so I think we as Kiowas can lead the way in reviving the economic vitality of those communities where most of our tribal people live. And of course, we're not going to ignore the people that live in the other districts and all around the country. We have to reach out to them and provide for the services of all Kiowas, wherever they may be, and not exclusive to those who can walk in the door. And so those are things that are outlined in my plan, but I will present this as the first starting point. It's not going to be my plan when we're through. It's going to be our plan, Kiowa plan, when we get through. And so, again, the key is planning, inclusion, involvement, communication, and drawing upon the best minds of Kiowa people and others who want to help. But we have a lot of educated and talented Kiowa people who we can draw upon. And so I just wanted to focus on that, and I want to come on again and talk about the economic development and Kiowa Incorporated, and then, of course, later on, the Community Development Corporation. And so with that, I thank you for the time to kind of speak more definitively on the plan that I want to bring to our tribe. I'm like everybody else. I'm tired of us, just going nowhere or going hang, I guess, because we don't have a plan. It's been a long time since I've witnessed us, our tribe, having anybody that planned anything. And so I'm tired of being high in hand. I want to develop a good plan with our people included, and then we can move forward and work together. And my motto and my focus is going to be Kiowa standing together. Starting in 2022, I want to start working that Kiowas can feel like they can stand together and take ourselves forward. So I hope for the time, and I look forward, and I encourage everybody to register to vote. It's going to be a big, big decision time in the spring next year. And I want to have all the Kiowas involved, all the legislators, all of our seven districts, all of our Kiowas. I encourage you to register and vote and have your family register and vote. We need your vote, and we need to work together to take us out of this big hole that we're in. Going nowhere. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and thank you very much. And I'll talk to you again soon.
So Kiowa standing together. Koigube Kale Day. That's Kiowa standing together. Lawrence is going to be a regular on our show now. He's been one of our sponsors for a while, and so he's got time on the show every week as long as we have the show. Next up, we've got our legislative update, and we hope to have Anita Johnson on. Anita, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, so it's your portion of the show. You just go right ahead.
Oh, good. Today I'd like to discuss, today is our regular legislative session, second Saturday of the month, and I'd like to report that, we're without our speaker, so our speaker is out ill right now, and I'd like to ask everyone to hold our speaker up in prayer, and also this past week we have chosen an interim speaker until we are able to speak with the Marilyn, who is our speaker. We have chosen Jacob Sotai, who will be our interim speaker until we can get farther down the road. And so he'll be carrying on as our speaker of the legislature until further notice. So we got that business done. And today we'll also be looking at a couple of legislative documents. I'm not sure if it will be ready or not, but Jacob is supposed to be have one ready, which is the education bill that he put up last time, which was to put all the education, I guess, whatever you call it, education agents, I guess, under one department, one thing, I don't know how to word it, but it's going to be under one umbrella. And so I haven't read it, so not sure what it consists of, but he wasn't finished with it, so we should hear about that. He may not have had a meeting on it yet, so we may not be even dealing with that one today. I know that I spoke about Medicine Lodge last week, so I won't mention that one today. I understand that, I don't know if I reported that I went to a KCOA meeting last week, and Hobart, they're deciding, the KCOA and the casino in conjunction are deciding on whether to hire just an architect who will be working on different concept for the Hobart casino, or do they hire, in addition to an architect, do they hire a manager, owner's manager, who is will give the owners, who are the Kiowa tribe, of course, but it's overseen by the casino staff, and they can't be over there every day, so they will have an owner's manager overseeing the project and then reporting to the owners, meaning the general manager of the casino, Mr. Peters. And and the KCOA, of course. We'll find out. I think they said it'd be a week or so before they would find out whether they're going to do, which one they're going to do. They'll put out bids and they'll find out money wise what they're going to do. Then when we find out, we'll report that to the people. We're still working on a legislative order to get a KIC coordinator to call a meeting for the KIC. And so that's a huge need here within our population. The KIC needs to meet. And at this point, we can do a legislative order and compel that to happen. So that's what Mr. Wolf is working on right now, to do the language for that legislative order. And we will do that and get the date straight so that we can have that happen for the KIC. That might be, I don't hear many people talking about their children's checks. I don't know if the checks are going out or they're not. I don't know that. And personally, I waited until I saw that the adult checks were almost complete. I looked at numbers of the reports that were out, and I wanted to wait until the tribe was almost to the end of the distribution period and for the adult distributions and for the assessment. So I then put in for my assessment, and so I'm at week one on that. And I will be keeping track of how long it takes for this Kiowa individual. So, and I'll be reporting that to the people. But all in all, the only big news that I have is just that we are without our speaker. We have an interim speaker, and so we are shy one legislator. We are six legislators at this point. The seventh is incapacitated at this time, and so that's all that I have to report at this week.
All right, Ms. Johnson, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and reporting the information and news to the Kiowa people. And we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Next up on our show, we've got the speaker of the newly elected Speaker of the House on an interim basis, Jacob Tsotai. Jacob, take it away.
Thank you, Joe. And the title is Interim Speaker. And I pledged to be as objective as possible, which will be very, very difficult considering what we've gone through this past year, the various personalities and dispositions. And it's been a real challenge. In fact, last Friday was our most difficult challenge as we met in a work session and then followed by a legislative order session. And we're still trying to pull ourselves together after that meeting. Unfortunately, it was another chaotic session, and the personalities came into play, and we were forced to close our meeting because one of the legislators who had control of the Zoom program chose to shut off the meeting as his prerogative, which was not his prerogative. And so we will be dealing with processes with our policies and procedures to try to correct that situation and prevent the despicable display that we saw last Friday. And when we met to confirm an interim speaker, and I too want to add to Legislator Johnson's request that we still be in prayer and present a positive force energy toward our speaker, Marilyn Brad, as she enters into the recovery stages. She was fortunate to be able to be diagnosed and undergo emergency surgery. It was a very challenging surgery, but she made it through fine. I'm talking about that the procedure itself entailed three blockages. And so she was very fortunate to have discovered it. But it led to us being one legislator shy. And that wasn't the call of the hour. It's just ongoing difficulties we've had this past year in trying to confront or control ourselves in these sessions. It's really unfortunate because when we have these types of disruptive displays, it prevents us from conducting business as is needed. And so I am upon my election, which was done by a 4-2 count. And I spoke to the body, and I requested an apology from one of the offending legislators, and gave it somewhat reluctantly, but he did end up apologizing for contributing to that chaos. And we've taken measures. We've secured another Zoom program that we will house in different legislators' office computer that is not as likely to demonstrate that type of behavior. And so we do have control of that. We will look at policies and procedures. We can't do anything technically, except if we have the majority, or actually almost unanimous vote, we could call for a recall for that individual. And he's undergone two recalls already, and both have been suspended, one by the court and one by the individual who filed the recall. And I know they had more than enough signatures to have that conducted formally. But we were kept from going through that. And he does have some mocking pleasure in saying that he survived those recalls, but it wasn't because of a lack of signatures. It was because of technicalities. I do believe that the will of the people will be upheld either through another recall or through the election process. But anyway, we can't call for that in the Constitution. It provides for a legislative recall if 6 out of 7 vote for that. But we know that there would be 2 votes that would not allow for us to move that forward. So that's really the only sanction that we have through constitutional processes. So we'll be looking at policies and procedures, and I think one of the things that I want us to consider is imposing fines on legislators who demonstrate this type of behavior that goes against or is a breach of decorum. And that's what it was. You can't conduct yourself like that in order to try to impose your point of view or perspective on the body. That's just not how it's done. I will control the meetings more forcefully. I will do what is necessary to make sure that all voices are heard, but in a proper manner, so that we can conduct our meetings in a civil fashion. There's no reason why we cannot do that, and I will make every effort to do so. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to serve our people this way and look forward to being able to control things the way they should be and having our meetings flow a little more smoothly than they have been this past year. And I recognize that it's just a temporary position, because I do hope and pray that Speaker Bread will be able to resume her duties once she's recovered sufficiently. But I know it may take several weeks for her to do so. And that's why I ask you for your continued prayers. This first session under my leadership will be, I anticipate it will be brief. We do have a couple of bills we will be considering, and in all actuality, they probably will be tabled. The bill I propose to create a tribal education agency is not yet ready. I haven't conducted a public hearing for that. And I haven't completed the editing that I had asked for others to participate with that crafting that bill. So I need to finish that and present that. So I'll probably ask for us to table that until November's meeting. And I think that's likely going to be the course of action for the budget proposal that we are working on. We're still drafting that. It's not yet finished in a finished form for us to move that forward. And so there'll be another delay in presenting a final product to approve and present to the chairman. Now, and I just want to thank my fellow legislature for the confidence in electing me to serve in an interim position. I hope.
Thank you, Jacob, for taking time to be on the show. Again, Koigu Bay, Kale Day, Kiowas Standing Together. We have some events this weekend. First off, the Oklahoma City Powwow Club is having their monthly Indian taco sale at 3131 North Penn in Oklahoma City from 11 to 7. Please come by. Indian taco, $8. Powwow burger, $9. Mary Helen, you got the next one.
And in Tulsa, a day of Native celebration will be held at the Dreamcatcher Park, formerly the Veterans Park at 1875 South Boulder. This is Indigenous People Day celebration, Gourd Dance. Head singer John Arkakita, MC Mark Wilson. Host is the Tulsa Indian Club. Co-host is Blackbeard Descendants. That's today, Saturday, October 9th, from noon to 5.
And also on the 10th at the Scissortail Park in Oklahoma City, we've got a Unite the People Fall Powwow on October the 10th. Once again at Scissortail Park, Master of Ceremony is Perry Cheevers Topaw. So be sure to head out there on a Sunday. On Monday the 11th, we've got Indigenous Peoples Day celebration at Scissortail Park. Be sure to head out there for that. And the next Saturday on October 16th, we've got the Oklahoma City Powwow Club and Red Earth are combining together to do a gourd dance down at the Myriad Gardens from 12 to 4. And then at 6 o'clock, we've got social and war dancing headed at Indian Hills. So that's what we have for you today. We'd like to remind everyone to please get vaccinated. Please contact your nearest IHS clinic to find out. We would like to thank all of our guests, Cleese Gaten, Lawrence Spotted Bird, Elena Quitone, for speaking today, as well as all of the Koigu people for tuning into our program on KACO New Country 98.5, Apache Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as JT would say, goombye for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mormon Media management and staff.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.